I want to show you something. I brought something here with me to help me out this morning. You know, when we went to Israel, stayed in Tel Aviv, they gave us slippers. Yeah, they gave us these beautiful slippers. I wore them a few times, and they're still doing the work for me, and they're not too bad. They're still a little bit worn at the bottom, but nevertheless, it's still doing the work for me. So this slipper is it was very useful during that time. And I want to show you another slipper that I found. You know, as you go around the shops, sometimes I do that just like you, and I found this beautiful slipper. I like it. I haven't worn it yet, but it's really good. So there are two slippers. They have different colors. One is new and one is old. One is new and one is old. Posted in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. And I'm going to read in my version. It's an NIV version. Anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And verse 18, it is all from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross and has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. Verse 19, God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sin against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. Verse 20, so we are Christ's official messengers. I like this translation. Very too easy to understand. It is as if God were making his appeal through us. Here is what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Come back to God. A very powerful statement that changes the lives of so many people, including myself, and I believe you too. Anyone who has a genuine encounter with Jesus is a new creation. You may be old like this slipper. Yes, with a little bit of, if you use it a lot, you will gather a lot of dust and a lot of dirt. And the white becomes black. You can still see that it's a slipper, but it's not as enticing to use anymore. But anyone who has a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ is a new creation, a new type of a slipper, if you like. We say that Christianity is true because it works. It's actually the other way around. Christianity works because it is true. And I don't doubt that God is working in every single person sitting in this room this morning. I believe that God is working in your life as a new creation. God is removing stuff in our lives to make us look good, to make us look more new. And one day, I'm sure that you're going to stand here in this pulpit to tell your God story of how God has blessed you and has changed you from one level to the next. And today, this morning, I have actually asked Aryan to tell us a new story of Jesus doing new things in her life just recently. And so I'm going to ask Aryan to help me in the platform for the next couple of minutes to tell us her story of how God is doing in her life, and then I'll come back to you. Praise God. Can we give Ayana a round of applause?
I'm standing in front of you to share with you what the Lord has done in my life recently. Since I started my studies, I had been looking for a permanent job. But what I got was only temporary job, which somehow sustained me a little bit to cover up my tuition fee and other obligations. Until such time where I lost that job. I never stop applying different jobs online or sometimes recommendation from friends, to the extent that I was so desperate to get any kind of job because I was so worried on how to pay my obligations, especially when due dates were approaching. I attended a lot of interviews. Lately, there were some job offers, but God didn't allow me to have them because they would lead me to the different paths, which would be totally different and not in line with my profession. I was about to grab a barista job, but my mom, Joyce, was very firm in telling me not to go to. I was even blaming her after because I should have worked already if not because of her disapproval. Meanwhile, I had a job in childcare, but it was just an on-call duty, meaning sometimes they called me to work and sometimes they don't. However, last week, during the praise and worship night, those who were praying for jobs were called to come to the altar in order to be prayed for. There were four of us who responded and were prayed for. As the word of God says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Church, I strongly testify that praying together or collective praying is really effective and powerful. Because with God's grace, after 3 days, good news arrived. I was called to go to one of the childcare centers where I have applied 8 months ago. Imagine, 8 months ago. So they called me to go to the center to sign the contract as a permanent early childhood educator in their newly opened center. Yes. I had been praying for this center to open for a long time. And I was so amazed and grateful about how God has worked in my situation. Because on the same day, two other childcare job offers called me if I am interested to work in their centers. Yes. So, I was in the situation wherein the jobs were chasing me instead of me chasing them. Yeah. Truly, God taught me how to wait, to be patient, and to put my trust on Him. Because behind my circumstances, He prepared the best and suitable job for me. There were times that I felt hopeless because I didn't see and I didn't feel what God was doing. But God is indeed working, and He never stopped working. His ways are beyond my understanding. I would like to thank everyone for the prayers. Jesus deserves our praise and worship. Church, His name is powerful. His name must be glorified. His name must be exalted because His grace is sufficient. Let me leave you this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight.
Christianity works because it is true. In verse 17 of our text, if you go back there, the Apostle Paul begins with the word therefore. The word therefore connects us with the words just before that in 5:16. We know Christ no more after the flesh. Before Christ, we understand Christ from the flesh. We just know that there is God. We just know that there is Jesus. We just know Him. We used to know Jesus out of our carnal mind. We used to know Jesus out of our selfish desires and our selfish motive. Or we want to know Christ because Christ would give us everything. So our motive may be carnal. And that's how we know God. That's how we know Christ. Amen? We probably know God because someone has told us about Him. But being new creation brings us a new perspective. That's why Paul said, Therefore, those who are in Christ will not think about Christ the way they used to think about Him. Now that I am new in Christ, I no longer look at Christ as someone like a magic machine. That every time I need something, I'm going to go to Christ and I say, Christ, this is what I need. I'm going to give Him my list of what I need. I am a new creation. I have a new perspective. I don't see God the way I used to see Him. When the Apostle Paul had his dramatic conversion in the road to Damascus, he began to look at people differently. But before his salvation experience, before Jesus encountered him in the road to Damascus, Paul will not have thought about the Corinthians. When he wrote the second letter to the church in Corinth, his heart was for the church, for the people in Corinthians. All he wants to do is to kill every single believer. He will not have thought of the church in Corinthians very much. And he would not certainly have worked and sacrificed for the Gentiles in the church. But now, the shadow of the cross always fall on him in his view every time he looked at other people. He saw believers as new creations in Christ. And he saw unbelievers as people in need of Christ. What a change of perspective. New creation gives you and brings you a new perspective. We are a change. We are a change. You see yourself as kingdom builders. You see yourself as spiritual fire starters. You work hard to start a Holy Spirit fire in someone else's lives. New creation brings you a new perspective. You look at every human being alive as capable of starting a new life in God. You look at someone's life who is in a mess right now, and you look at them as a person who has a potential to become more like Jesus. New creation brings new perspective. Real creation brings a blessed life with a blessed Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. New creation gives you a new perspective. Before, I have little or no grace with people. My family can attest to that. Now I am learning to extend grace more and more and more. The kingdom of this world will allow you to do anything you wish to do. And that's why a lot of people like the kingdom of this world, because it does not give you any limits. Sky is the limit. The mindset of this world is you do whatever you want to do. In the kingdom of our King and Lord Jesus Christ, He is more caring not to let us do whatever we want to do, because our King is after our safety and our protection. He will not let you do just anything you want, because your King sits on the throne and He can see from the top, and He can see what you don't see. You got to be thankful to Jesus that He does not allow you to just do whatever you want to do. Don't get mad at Him if our Lord did not allow you to go to a job that you think will give you money, because King Jesus knows that He can do better than that. In the book of Isaiah, He said there, you know, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are farther than your thoughts, greater than your thoughts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 to 24, the Apostle Paul said these things to the church in Corinth who loved to do just anything. If you go to the church in Corinthians during that time, the church is made up of a mixture of people. There are good people. There are people that are not so good. There are people who are committing fornication, adultery, and all of those things, sexual things, and everything that are not good. But God did not abandon the Corinthian church just because of what they do. In fact, He sent the Apostle Paul to that church to teach the church to get so that the church will gain a perspective of God. And what I saw in there is this, a God who loves the church. A new creation brings a new perspective in life. We begin to understand the love of God from the not from the context of the world, but from the perspective of heaven. So Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, all things are lawful. In other translation, he says, all things are permissible. No one is going to tell you not to do things because you have your own mind, especially if you're an adult. You know, when our children were little, we can tell them what to do. But when they become adults, we can just give them advices. But whether they'll take that advice, it's up to them. In the kingdom of the world, they'll give you everything. Everything is permissible. But in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King takes care of us. And He's telling us that, yeah, you have the right. You have the freedom. If you misuse that freedom, it will not help you in the end. Not everything are helpful. Not everything are beneficial in helping others grow and build up. In our decisions and our plans, we are being encouraged to seek and think of the good of others as we seek and think of ours. In verse 18 of our text, Paul said these two words, all this, all the new creation stuff that are happening in his life, Paul says they are all from God. Paul is making clear that the new creation that he now possesses in Christ Jesus is exclusively God's work. Everything begins with God's initiative. All this is from God. Everybody wants to enjoy heaven after they die, but they don't want to be heavenly minded while they are alive. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27, this is a story of a rich young ruler. I'm just going to, you know, pick a verse here and there just to prove a point that people would like to go to heaven after they die, but they don't want to give their life to Jesus while they're still alive, because that giving your life to Jesus is the one who will secure your place in eternity. And this rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. And Jesus told this rich young ruler, if you want to spend eternity in heaven, if you want eternal life, and if you want to have treasure in heaven, rich young ruler, you need to sell all your possessions. And you give the money to the poor. What I observe in the world is that people can live their lives, their whole life around Jesus, surrounded by Jesus' stuff, surrounded by anything that relates to Jesus. You can surround your whole life around Jesus. You can be familiar with Him. And you can have a mind that is filled with Jesus, filled with God. You can have a good and sweet, you know, understanding of Jesus, have ideas about Him, and still not believe in Jesus. Because we know that this young ruler did not believe in Jesus. In verse 22, he left the presence of Jesus with a sad face. He went away because he had a great wealth. He had so much money that he cannot give away what he has in this life so that he can have the treasures of heaven. In Mark chapter 10, how hard it is children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is to become a new creation. How hard it is to have a new perspective of being a new creation with a heavenly, divine perspective, if not for the work of God. In verse 25 of Mark chapter 10, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is not saying that rich people will not enter the kingdom of God. He used the analogy of a person who has so much wealth to prove that it is difficult, it is impossible for someone to enter the kingdom of God if not for the work of God. But in verse 27, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. By human standard, it is impossible. But thanks to God that He is not subjected to human standards. Amen. Beloved, the Christian life starts with grace, continues with God's grace, and ends with God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 89, for it is by grace you have, come on, you have been saved. Is it through your works or through your faith? Through faith. And this, is this from yourselves? It is not from yourself. Where is it from then? It is a gift. If it's a gift, do you buy your own gift or do you receive a gift? You receive. You receive. You receive from God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, Paul said, all are justified by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Amen? We are justified. If you are in court and you are justified, it just means that the judge has just declared you free or have not committed the accusations that's being laid against you. The currency in the kingdom of King Jesus is not your good works. The currency in the kingdom of King Jesus is the blood of the King itself. Praise God. That's why every born-again believer who has received a new creation has a new perspective. You don't beat yourself to enter the kingdom of God. You subject yourself to the kingship and the rulership of the King who justifies you freely and declares you free. Praise God. So therefore, being a new creation gives you a perspective that there is hope for everyone, even for a murderer, even for an adulterer, even for a fornicator, a thief, a bludger, a person who is impure, a sorcerer, those who did witchcraft in the past. At the cross, God did the first move. And from the grave, God did the last move. He silenced the power of sin and death to those who will believe. And finally, when He comes back as King forever, there is hope for everyone, because salvation is the work of God from beginning to end. Salvation is the work of God from beginning to end. Our filthiness cannot silence the grace of God for us. What is new in being new? A new creation brings new passion. Paul's ministry was compelled by the display of Christ's love on the cross, the passion of the Christ. In verse 18, He brought us back to Himself through Christ's death on the cross. And verse 18, Paul said that everything I do it because He gave me the task to bring others back to Him through Christ. Paul's passion is to bring back those people who are lost. And that passion is not from him. He received it from the passion of the Christ. Praise God. Now we share His passion. Our new passion is no longer fueled by temporary things of this world. Our new passion is no longer to go here and there, to have a good time in the nightclub on a Friday night. So we come to church late on a Sunday morning. Our passion is no longer going to the poker machine and waste our money. Our passion is no longer to go to our neighbor and to talk about people's lives. That's no longer our passion. Our passion is fueled by the passion of the Christ. What is new in being new? New creation gives you a new purpose in life. In verse 20, Paul said, we are Christ's officials, official messengers. Jesus redefined the purpose of your life when he gave you a new creation. He redefined the purpose of my life and your life, that now new creation brings new and new purpose. And my purpose today is not just to exist in this world. My purpose today and your purpose today is not just to eat three times a day. Your purpose in life is not just to go to work from 9 to 5. Your purpose in life is not just buy good stuff here and there. I am not saying that it's not good for you to go shopping. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that your new creation brings you a new purpose that is greater than the purpose of the economy of this world. Our purpose in life is much bigger. It's wider than we think. Our purpose is to pave the way. Our purpose is to pave the way for others to accept the handshake of God. What do you do when you try to reconcile to your enemy? What is the sign that you are now friends again? The Bible said that because of the sin of one man, we become enemies of God. But because of the death and the sacrifice of one man, Christ Jesus, that's why it is important to understand that Jesus is fully divine and he is fully human, because our power to live this life comes from the understanding. We are empowered to live this life as a new creation, because through the sin of one man, Adam, we all have become the enemies of God. But through the work of one man, Christ Jesus, who was God in the beginning, who is God forevermore, we become friends. The blood of Jesus Christ, the death of one man, is the handshake of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to you and me. And your purpose is to encourage those who did not have a handshake yet with God to accept the handshake of God. Right now, our assignment is not to show others how good we are. I will repeat that, church. Your assignment, my assignment, is not to show others how good I am or how good you are. Our assignment is to show others how good God is. It is official. It is official. Paul said, come back to God. Come back to God. Some of you will say, I am trying. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I say to you, this is what I can say to you, and this is not to belittle you, but to encourage you. Outside of Christ, you are weak. But in Christ, you are strong. If you have given your life to Jesus, don't do it on your own. Let God the Holy Spirit, whom you have also received in Christ, help you. No ifs, no buts anymore. No more excuses. Excuses are not welcome in heaven. No more excuses anymore. What you do matters. What you do matters. Because what you do reflects who you belong to.